On this episode of Still Loading, there's a new game master in town. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this new episode of the Still Loading Podcast. I'm your host, Josh Koval. Today, it is the third episode of the mini-series of Captain N, the Game Master of Coolness. Thank you all for tuning in, though. This is the third episode of our Captain N series, and by ours, I mean my buddy Dexter and I. Dexter, say hello to the good people.
Hello, everybody. Welcome.
And we're recording this back to back with episode 2. So if we are a little bit more tired and rushed, it's because our kids are sleeping and we don't want them to wake up. So we'll see what we can do on this one.
Yeah.
So this is now the third episode of the Captain N series. And the last episode I talked about how, like, I focused a little bit more on the room of the intro, and I still can't get over that. Like, I want to know what books they put on the shelf, to be honest. Because, you know, the intro where Captain N gets sucked into Videoland, I want to know more about this room, because it seems to me like such a weird idea. And I want to know if they change it up for season 2 when production companies shift. I doubt it, because that would cost more money, but I also wouldn't be surprised, because it's a new production company. In any case, what are your thoughts on this episode? Just like going off the top before we dive into the story, what are your overall thoughts on this episode?
I really enjoyed this one, and I think it was like the concept for it, like overall, I think was really fun, and it exudes 1989, 1990 to me, and maybe that's why I enjoy it so much. It just has that very, I don't know, it was like everything that got me excited as a kid watching these cartoons, like the different bad guys that show up and the different, like, just the weird idea of the whole episode. Just it's very fun. The hijinks, like, it just reminds me and it makes me miss these kind of old episodic cartoons where there's not necessarily that really serious overarching story over the whole thing.
I, you know what? It's funny, because I said in the last episode that this episode I didn't like as much as episode 2, but in all honesty, so I rewatched episode 2 and 3 this morning, and episode 2 was a lot harder for me to rewatch. Like, I'm just thinking about it literally now, even though we just recorded episode 2, yeah. And I just said maybe 20 minutes ago in our time, so a month ago in podcast release time, that I liked episode 2 more, but, like, I'm really thinking on it. And as much as I think the reason this one didn't hit me as much, and the reason I said that is because I don't like this plot that much, and not because it's actually bad. I think it's because as a kid, these types of plots freaked me out the most. Like, I still remember for any Power Rangers buffs out there, Power Rangers Turbo, the movie. I loved Power Rangers. I watched a ton of them. And the Turbo series, they introduced the Turbo series with this movie just called Power Rangers Turbo. And they have two of the original Power Rangers, Tommy and Kimberly, and they turn evil for a little bit. And I remember watching that as a kid and being freaked the fuck out. I'm like, why are they, like, the idea of having an evil, like, doppelganger, or like an evil, like, it could be a doppelganger, it could be anyone who was supposed to be good and now is evil. Now, I understand it's a little bit different for this, because the plot of this episode is Mother Brain. This is a really basic overview before we really deep dive into it. Mother Brain gets Dr. Wily to create a machine to scan Kevin's brain to find his biggest fears. And he finds out that his biggest fear is a former bully of his named Mike Vincent, or I guess a current bully technically. And they implant that fear into an android, and they sick this bully on Kevin. And so even though it's not a one-to-one. It's not a good person turning evil or a doppelganger of you, like an evil doppelganger of you. It's his bully that just shows up in Videoland. It's the it's similar enough that it kind of gave me PTSD is way too strong of a term for it, but it like it's the only way I can accurately describe it is PTSD flashbacks, but it's not like actual PTSD. I think it's more just like
anxiety.
It just it reminds me of that, and it just kind of is like it reminds me of how much I hated, I shouldn't say hated, it's how much those storylines made me uncomfortable because it created this tension that I just as a kid I couldn't deal with well. And as an adult, it doesn't.
I was saying I can see that,
and it just reminded me of that. But with that said, let's dive into it. This episode was called The Most Dangerous Game Master, released on September 23rd, 1989. Once again, written by Jeffrey Scott, which we mentioned last episode, wrote the entire first season. The featured song in this, which we mentioned last time as well, was Thriller by Michael Jackson. Once again, these featured songs you don't get to see on YouTube. Hashtag copyright strikes. But also, hashtag licensing rights are stupid, because even if you bought the DVDs of this, you won't be able to hear it. So the games featured in this one are Castlevania and Castlevania 2 Simon's Quest. Though, how exactly would Castlevania 2 specifically, is it just because it's Castlevania in general, or is there a specific Castlevania 2 element you could think of in this?
It could be, unless there's some one of the like the baddies in it or something like that are referenced from the second one. But I feel like it was only the first one. I don't know. Was there a werewolf in the first in the second one?
There wasn't a werewolf in the first one. So maybe if there's a, I don't know the second one well enough to like
say
if there was a werewolf or not. I mean,
the only thing I can think of is something like that.
So to start off, though, the plot revolves around Dr. Wily building an android replica of a bully that tormented Kevin in the real world, you know, on Earth. And the way they get this image, this memory, this thing of the bully is that they basically turn off the like in the tower in the Fortress of Power is not the tower the Fortress of Power right
Palace
of am power. I blanking on this
the Palace of Power
Palace of Power In the Palace of Power, they're all gathered around watching TV, and Mother Brain sends King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard to basically fuck up their TV so that way they have to call a cable repairman, and those guys pose as the TV/cable repairman. First thing I noticed, though, about them watching TV is, one, they do parodies in this. If you guys remember in episode 2 of this series, I mentioned they did the quicksand gag in this episode. Well, it happens in this like TV show within the TV show. It's they're all gathered around watching TV, and you don't know it yet, though, but you see Donkey Kong in a show called Donkey Kong Jones and the Last Banana. And it's obviously an Indiana Jones ripoff. What do you have to say about this, though?
I did not remember this episode, so when this scene started, I was so confused as to what was happening. I was like, are we watching a backdoor pilot for a Donkey Kong spinoff show? Like, I was so confused. But yeah, I mean, this was, you know, obviously this is, it's old hat now to like spoof old Indiana Jones. Like, everybody does it now. But I'm sure at the time, like 1989, that was probably still a little fresh to...
It was definitely fresh because The Last Crusade came out in 89.
Yeah, with The Last Banana, you know, like making fun of that. Yeah, so like the jokes, I mean, the jokes were funny, but thinking of it now, like we've all seen those jokes before, but I loved it. I think it was really cool to see them be a little more meta with the show, and like, What would the TV shows and movies look like in video land? Because they have to use them as actors. And, you know, it also made me think about how, like, that's Miyamoto's excuse for, like, the stories of Mario, and specifically Mario Brothers 3. Like, it's all a big stage play with the curtains and stuff. So it made me think of that. And I really enjoyed that aspect of it. I'm 100% positive that that's not what Jeffrey Scott, the writer, was thinking, but I, you know, from my own kind of headcanon with video games, I enjoyed that kind of conceit of like, oh, well, who are the actors going to be for their television? Well, the characters from video games. So seeing that was pretty cool.
I do think it was weird, though, that they devote a lot of time to in this episode to these fake TV shows. You have Donkey Kong Jones in The Last Banana, and then the next one, they change the channel, and Simon's like, oh, I love this show, and it's Wombat Man, and it's clearly just a spoof of Batman, which actually, once again, Batman 89, the Tim Burton Batman movie came out in 1989, so it's topical as well for the time that it was released. And it's Wombat Man.
They're commenting on the tone of that movie too, because I feel like I remember, not personally, but just from like stories, because I mean, I was three when it came out, four, you know, that
I was a couple months.
But I remember people being like, Tim Burton? Okay. Michael Keaton as Batman? What? Like, people were really confused about what the tone of that movie would be and how it conflicted with Adam West. And like, so that was always a topic of conversation then, was like what kind of Batman it was. And you could see that this Wombat Man was also kind of like making fun of the melodrama of that movie.
Well, they even have like the line from it, I think, was a legit good joke. And it's, they have Wombat Man in the background, and it's almost like a film noir like camera shot, like with Wombat Man looking at whoever the girl is. They don't name her at all, but whoever his love interest is in the foreground. And she's saying, goes, are we at least going to be able to love each other? And he goes, he walks up to her, grabs her by the shoulder, goes, probably not, and then leaves, and just like takes off. Like, how heartless is that? Are we going to at least be able to love each other? Nope. Just not happening. I just thought it made me laugh pretty hard watching that. I'm like, wow, it's pretty mean. It's just to dash your hopes like that. But the other thing that I was like getting a kick out of after like the second or third watching of this episode, because I've noticed like with this show, because the plot is so meh, there's a lot, it's easy to miss a lot of stuff because you get bored really fast with the plot. Like, it's hard to keep in, at least for me, it's hard to stay engaged. So I watched a couple of times so I can really let it sink in. And it was the third time that I noticed, did you see the couch they were sitting on to watch the TV? Do you see the design of that thing?
No.
So the design of it is, it's the, like, where Simon, Kevin, and Princess Lana are sitting on, it almost looks like a Victorian style couch. It's like very ornate around the back. But where Pit/Kid Icarus and Mega Man are sitting, is the best way I can describe it is they're sitting on booster seats that are not attached directly to the couch. They're like a little bit separate, maybe a couple inches out from the back of it, but they're up above everyone. So there's support beams coming from the back of the couch, going diagonally, like in a cross shape to, and the end, like where the ends meet, or sorry, where the after, you know, not where the ends meet in the center for the cross shape, but like, or the X shape, I should say. The seats are on the edges of the beams up at the top on the left and right side, back behind the couch, but it's still attached to the couch. I can't describe it verbally. It's very difficult for me to describe this, but just think of a couch and then think of like two beams in the shape of an X that are like crossing, you know, crossing each other, or two beams that are crossing each other in the shape of an X. The bottom parts of the beams are mounted to the bottom half of the couch, and then the top parts of the beams, like, they're going up, like angled away from the back of the couch.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of like the director's chairs, but instead of having like a bridge between the two tops of it, there's just a seat on either side. It's very strange. It's a very strange design. And I spent like a solid like 5 minutes just staring at it, trying to figure out the architecture of this chair, being like, why? Like, what, they couldn't just put like booster seats on the side of the couch? They have to be connected to the couch by support beams that jut away from the back of the couch. It's so strange. Sounds it was amazing. Just such a strange thing. So the TV goes out, and then Prince is like, I'm gonna have to call a repairman. And then before she can call the repairman, all of a sudden there's a knock on the door. Simon is an idiot and opens the door and doesn't notice anything. And it's Eggplant Wizard and King Hippo disguised as TV repairmen. And I actually wrote down some of their quotes, if I believe I did at least. Hold on. They come in and Eggplant Wizard goes, TV repair eggplant, repairman. Like, it's just not good jokes.
Making Simon look even worse.
Yep. And then once they're actually in like looking at the TV, which, by the way, that TV's huge. The TV is like the size of a wall. And Eggplant Wizard says to King Hippo, he calls him Dr. Boob Tube.
That's right. Dr. Boob Tube.
Yes. Dr. Boob Tube. So, you know, some grade A writing here is what I'm trying to say. In all honesty, I bet Jeffrey Scott's actually a pretty good writer, but understandably so. Like, when you get assigned something like this, it's just a paycheck. You're like, who knows? It's a living. Like, in the words of, like, the Flintstones, it's a living.
Yeah, they bring that device that Dr. Wily had, because it was a, like I said, you know, I don't remember this episode. So seeing in the beginning how they kind of previewed Dr. Wily having what looked like Captain N under that sheet. And because all you see is like the jacket and the pants and the shoes, and you mm-hmm. assume like it's something, and they're talking about Kevin's greatest fears and things like that. So I was like, oh, are they going to do some kind of, like you were talking about before, like some doppelganger type thing, some like clone thing? And he gives, when they go to infiltrate as Dr. Boobtube and his assistant, the repair people, he gives them this device, which I swore when I saw it, I was like, that looks like an orange version of what, going back to Home Alone, Kevin McAllister
Home Alone, had, yeah,
in the second movie, Kevin, where he's recording himself. Like, I want one mm-hmm. of those refrigerators you have to open with a key, like when he's changing his voice. That's what it looks like, yep, that he gives yep. them. But they
I thought the that, same thing too.
And like you were saying, the television is huge, so they can literally walk inside the side of it and they're in a room, which is amazing. So call back to the previous episode, having unrealistic fears of quicksand. This gave me unrealistic visions of what I wanted from a television as a child. So
I thought you were going to say unrealistic fears of television. It's like, it can't be that big, right, Mom? No, it's okay, Dexter. It's okay. Televisions are not that big. They can't hurt you.
You can't fit inside the television. It's okay. But they're inside and they plant the device and they have to point it at Kevin, and that's what like will broadcast his fears. And the whole point is that they're going to download his fears into this machine, and that is
onto a cassette tape. It's onto a cassette tape.
Yes, you can see the cassette tape inside. It's amazing. They're going to download that into this creation that looks like a clone from, you know, being underneath the sheet. But they start out by, I think they get Duke first. Is that who they, no, they get Simon first. Which one do they get first?
They get Simon first, and then they get Duke, and then they get, and they're like, you idiot. That's not Captain N's like biggest fears. But yeah, it's like Simon, then Duke, then finally Kevin.
Yeah. They get Simon. And so the TV starts broadcasting Dracula from Castlevania, except he looks ridiculous. He's got like a yellow zoot suit. It's amazing.
And he looks like he just doesn't give a fuck.
No, he's got an RBF.
Like the angle of the shot. Yeah, it's got resting bitch. Oh, 100%. And it's the angle that they chose for the shot, it's like it's down and up. So it's like you're seeing like 60 of his chins. And he just, the way he's looking, it's like it's very erudite almost. He's kind of like, oh, look at these plebes. Oh. It's kind of like the look that he has going on. Very, very strange design for Dracula, for sure.
Yes, it's I'm not really sure how they came up with that character design. It's amazing, but very strange. When they realize it's not Kevin's fear, they switch and it ends up connecting with Duke, Kevin's dog. And that it's now broadcasting Duke being chased by like an enormous herd of cats. That's Duke's fear, is being chased by cats, which kind of goes against the previous episode. He was chasing that cat in the second episode.
But that was only one.
Touche.
There was only one cat. It's just to kind of go along with what I said before, though, how like I zoned out a couple times. It wasn't until the third watching of this episode where I was like, oh, that I didn't even notice that Duke had his chance. Like, I didn't even know you saw Duke's fears. It took the third viewing. I'm like, oh, so this is part. OK, good to know. Glad I got that.
Yeah. And for some reason, no one's commenting on this, that the TV's broadcasting their fears. For some reason.
Well, I don't know if the TV is broadcasting the fears or if they're just seeing what their fears are. You know what I mean? Actually, you're right, though, because then how does King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard know what everyone, like, whose fear is whose? Another thing that's weird about this whole scene, though, is right before they start doing that, they have the remote control for the TV and they point it at Duke, who stops behind the TV to, like, check on them. And it turns him into like a pig and then a cat and then a monkey. Oh, yeah. And it turns into a bunch of stuff. And then that's Eggplant Wizard doing that to Duke. But then King Hippo's like, give me that. And he hits the button and it transforms Eggplant Wizard into this like voluptuous woman. And then King Hippo's like, oh, I got to remember that channel for later.
Yes, they were definitely adding these jokes on purpose. I forgot about that. How can I forget about that? Because I loved those character designs for Duke as different animals. Not, but like, I thought that was going to be a plot device. Like, I thought that was going to be the way that they like saved the day in the end. Or
set it up for that. It never comes back.
I can't. That's why I forgot it, I think, is because it never comes back. But that was amazing. Like, that could have been the plot. That could have been a device for an episode in itself. But. Oh my god, that was whack. You know, think about
it. I mean, who knows? Aladdin. Maybe it will be.
It's true. When Genie's turning Abu into all the different animals, it was like that. Or the pilot episode of Dexter's Lab where they're turning each other into.
You know, kind of going back to what you said in the first episode where everyone's just ripping off Captain N. Technically, this came out before Aladdin, I'm just saying.
And Dexter's Lab. Everybody's ripping off Captain N. I'm saying it. I'm dying on this hill.
That's like the conspiracy theory. We're gonna come out of this. We're gonna come out the other side being like, this is gonna start off as a joke, and by the end of the Captain N series, it's like, oh my god, everything is Captain N. Game of Thrones.
It's gonna be national.
Somehow news. Star Wars.
Two young podcasters accidentally expose. Decades of copyright infringement and because of Captain.
Oh my god. But once they get Kevin's, I haven't done that in a little bit. Once an episode. So let's do an actual one, not a half-assed one like that one. Kevin, once they get his fears, then they run away. And they escape, though. So they almost get caught because Princess Lana and Kevin come back and Simon's like, oh, the TV repairmen are here. And she goes, what? They're not coming until tomorrow. And then they all of a sudden King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard break out through the screen, which apparently is paper. It's not even glass the way it shows. It's apparently paper. So go figure. And they escape in what I can only describe as Capsule Corp's version of a mushroom, of a flying mushroom. You know what I'm talking about with Capsule Corp, by the way?
Yes, from Dragon Ball. Because
it starts off really small. Yeah, from Dragon Ball. It starts off small and then it grows in and sprouts wings, sprouts helicopter blades, and then they just get in it and it flies off. It felt very much like a Capsule Corp thing, which Dragon Ball did come before this.
That's true.
Just don't know when Capsule Corp stuff started. You know what I'm saying? So it's possible. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying it, but you know it's possible.
Yeah, they give Eggplant Wizard some bizarre powers, just like Kevin's power pad. Like sometimes Eggplant Wizard's powers are just like whatever he needs, And I thought that they were making a mushroom joke, like it's a room. But then the propeller popped out.
I didn't even think of that.
But then the propeller popped out and they flew away. I also was wondering if they were doing a Mario thing too, with the mushroom was growing. And I was like, oh, what's happening?
That could be it. I mean, that's definitely very possible. I could see that.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that. That's definitely, yeah, that's definitely very, very possible. When they get back to Mother Brain with this, she goes, well, you deserve a reward. And she literally throws them a bone. Like it's a visual gag. So instead, like she literally throws them a bone and then they fight over it. I think the joke actually works really well. I think I was telling you last episode, there's a couple times in this show where the jokes, I think, actually kind of pull through. And even if it's not something that I laugh out loud at, I'm like, okay, that's kind of clever. And the reason I think this one works is that they don't call attention to it. A lot, and then in a lesser show, in a more stereotypical kids show from this time, they would probably say like, I'll throw you a bone, and then literally throw them a bone,
right?
Versus you deserve a reward. And yeah, and it ruins the joke because they're calling it out. But this one, they just play it like, as a kid, if you don't know that phrase, then you're just thinking it's these two weird guys fighting over a bone, which is funny. But as an adult, you know that phrase, you're like, oh, I see what they're doing there. That's, and they don't call it out.
Yeah,
it's funny in a different way. So I'm not saying it's like a great joke, but it's a, you know, it's better than I would expect out of a show like this. I'll put it that way.
Yes, for sure. Yeah. And then when they give the device, like you were saying, to Dr. Wily, and he sends they have to send the body up to be electrified, like old school Frankenstein style.
Yeah.
And be charged that way. And there's like that weird maniacal laugh moment, right? And like Mother Brain cuts him short.
Everyone is laughing. Everyone is doing the maniacal laugh except Mother Brain. Mother Brain is staring at all of them like, the fuck's wrong with you guys? And that's another great joke, though, because they're making fun of themselves, because that's what Mother Brain has done. I think that joke would have been better later on in the show, because it's right now you only have two episodes to build a character. And don't get me wrong, like, she's does maniacal laughter, but like with only two episodes, it'd be funny if it was like towards the end of the first season, where you have like a full season or majority of the first season to get used to her just maniacally laughing. So when everyone else starts doing it and she's like, what's wrong with you people? It makes it funnier because she's literally been doing that for the whole season. But right now you only have two episodes to look back on. So I feel like this joke would have been perfect farther on down. Not that a kid necessarily would have understood that, the nuance of it, but still, it's a good scene.
Yeah. No, I thought that was a clever joke as well. Yeah. And we've got the big reveal of this creation that Dr. Wily made,
the is ultimate Lugier's name. Game master.
Yes, he made their own game master, and it's a bully. We find out that Kevin had a bully in school that used to be a friend
named Mike Vincent.
Named Mike Vincent, another kind of generic kid's name from that time period.
He's got two first names.
He does, but. What confused me was like, how did they know that about Kevin to model this thing after? Like, they went to go get the fear, but they had already made the machine that looked like the fear, but they needed, I know that they explained, like, they needed, for it to be accurate, they needed it to have Kevin's memories downloaded into it.
Yeah.
But I just thought that was weird that he already knew what Mike Vincent looked like and that Mike Vincent existed. Yeah.
Like, it'd be different if you just saw like a robot body and then it turned into Mike Vincent, but you see the jeans and the power pad and like the little bit of the red jacket and everything.
Yes, exactly. And we see also that he also has like an N on his jacket as well, but that doesn't have the patch there. It looks like it's faded, like the patch was removed. So my own brain into like, oh, he would rip that off and put it on when he killed Kevin, kind of thing. Like, I know that's dark, like, but that was where my mind.
Oh, went. Yeah, totally. I could totally see that. He's not the ultimate game master, really. that he doesn't have it on. Now, I feel stupid, but the title of this episode is called The Most Dangerous Game Master, and I didn't realize that's a pun off of the most dangerous game, you know, hunting humans, right, which is a really dark thing, and it's about this bully of his hunting Kevin. So it's literally it plays it right into the title if you understand the you know, the idea of quote unquote the most dangerous game.
I kind of took that as like the most dangerous thing to Kevin isn't the video games that he's surrounded by. It's like his own fear. It's his own, it's like another person kind of thing, like you were saying.
Well, but the title, literally, when you've heard the phrase the most dangerous game, right?
Well, yeah, I remember reading that in school.
And, you know, it's about humans hunting other humans. So when you have the most dangerous game master, it's about a human. Well, it's an android, but it's a bully. It's a, the likeness of a human hunting another human, Kevin. So I think like it's a weird, that's a very dark reference in the title for a kid's show.
That might have been the conceit for writing the episode. Like, he came up with the title first.
I could see that. You know what? I could totally see that, especially with like the haphazard way they kind of end this episode, and also get like the way this episode ends is, in my opinion, not very good. The moral, I think, is actually really good, but the way they decide to do it, I think, is kind of crappy. But we'll get to that. So they create, you know, Mike Vincent out of Kevin's memories, and they send him after. They first lure Kevin out of the Palace of Power by making it seem like Mike was kidnapped by Mother Brain. So it was, and Kevin even goes, that's strange. Like, why is it him? And Princess Lana's like, well, don't you want to go rescue your friend? He's like, he's not my friend. He's my bully. I don't know why my bully, why they would kidnap my bully. And obviously it's because they created an android version of him. And they go to Castlevania to rescue him. And they see Mike Vincent, they see Mike, I don't have to say his full name every time. They see Mike, and he basically, you know, he does a couple stupid insults, like the loser team, Captain N and the loser team or something like that. And he goes, let's see how you fare against my M team. And it's like M for monsters, that is. And it's all the monsters from Castlevania, which I actually thought was a really clever way to bring Castlevania into this.
Right. Yeah, that, I think that's another reason why I like this episode more than the previous one. I think partially I don't have as much nostalgia for Bayou Billy, but at the same time, like, I'm a sucker for team ups, you know, and like, oh wow, all these recognizable characters. So, you know, like you were saying, that Dracula shows up, and the mummy, and Frankenstein's monster, and a werewolf. And I feel like they did a good job pairing each of them up with a character. Like, they did a good job of, you know, this person of the team matches up against this person of the team. And like Duke, the dog, yanks the wrapping off of the mummy, and, you know, things like that. Like the hijinks that ensue, I feel like was cleverly done. And I actually really enjoyed the animation of this portion too.
I agree. I think they did a good job with it. And I like the like Simon face Dracula, which I thought was a little weird because they showed him as his biggest fear. So like it would have made more sense for Simon to cower a little bit, but he didn't. He just went gung ho right at Dracula, even though they showed just 5 minutes before that Dracula is Simon's biggest fear when King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard screwed up that part. But you're right, like all the different ways that they dispatch these other monsters is really cool. They even do a cool job of when they get everyone except for Mike Vincent, I keep saying his full name, damn it. They get everyone except for the bully. He reaches for his zapper and Kevin shoots it away real quick, like Old West style, which I thought was kind of cool. But then they completely ruin the amazingness of this scene by how they get captured. They walk up to him and all the bully does is just press pause on his power pad and it pauses them in place. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, there's no payoff now. You just spent the last like 2 to 3 minutes showing us this awesome scene of how they came together and, you know, they're fighting back against Mother Brain. And then it just stops with a pause button. It would have made more sense to do that at the very beginning. Like when they first met, they go in for attack and he pauses it. And then they have to fight all the monsters after they escape somehow. You know what I mean? Like that would have been more compelling. Otherwise, you just completely rob the seriousness of the situation. You feel like they didn't accomplish anything because they're back to square one again.
Yeah. Yeah. He should have paused them, then gave like his villain monologue and then left them with the monsters. And then, you know, after he leaves, they become unpaused and fought the monsters. And like, oh, we got to go get Mike, you know. Flipping it that way, I think, would have made more sense. Because you're right, like, when he pauses them, like, why didn't he just do that to begin with?
Exactly. It's not like he's getting a one-up on them. Like, if anything, like, he wasted his monster squad. He could have just paused, saved his four monsters, and then attacked them all at once later on whenever they're ready. Like, it makes no sense. Yeah. It makes no sense why they would do that. And it makes even less sense why he wouldn't just take out Captain N right there and then, if that's all Mother Brain. Actually, no, they explain it pretty well why. Like, they did a surprisingly okay job at explaining away why Mother Brain wouldn't take out Captain N right there and then. Like, what's stopping her from just ending this right now? And it's because, actually, no, they still don't do a good job of it, because she wants the new game master, Mike, to take out Captain N, right? That's her thing. He decides to go rogue and be like, I'm not listening to you, lame brain, calls her lame brain. And they have to do a challenge. He challenges Kevin to see who can get through Castlevania the quickest and defeat Dracula, which I actually think is a pretty cool idea. And it makes sense for the bully. Like, the bully would want to do something like that to humiliate and antagonize Kevin even further. But Mother Brain doesn't want any of this, and she just allows that shit to happen. I don't get it. Like, why does she just let it happen?
Yeah, she doesn't fight it very much at all. She kind of was like, what? Don't do that. And then she, like, that's the only fight she really puts up.
It's such a weird thing. Sorry, go on.
Oh, I was going to say that it is swept under the rug, like, really quickly and kind of uncomfortably, but I wanted the scene to change, so I was like, I'm okay with this. but yeah, they do go back in to Castlevania, which I also thought was a little weak as well. Like, I almost kind of wish he was challenged to a different game, but I'm sure budget is like, oh, we already have these character designs. Let's not have to come up
with that. I didn't hate that. I actually liked what they did, how they run down the same ramp into Castlevania. Mike makes a left and Kevin makes a right, and they have to go their separate paths. What I thought was kind of lame, though, is how they solved all the problems up until where they kind of rejoined back at this back against this, like, this knight of armor, excuse me, against this suit of armor. They just shoot everything. They shoot everything with a blaster. And it'd be different if they just ran through while shooting things, but they specifically stop to show what they're fighting, and then they show them just shooting it. So there's all these anti-climaxes, or these anti-tense, like, it's not tense at all. Like, you don't know, and you have no frame of reference for how close they are to each other. So, like, is Mike closer to the end, or is Kevin closer to the end? By everyone's logic, you would assume Mike was closer, because he got to, because where they kind of meet up at the back, like, where their two paths rejoin, there's like this knight throwing spears. Mike, the bully, just hits the jump button up on the D-pad and launches over and just keeps on running. Kevin dodges a couple spears and then does the same thing, but instead of jumping over him, probably actually one of my favorite scene of the whole episode, the dude suddenly goes like fucking wild and starts like just like chucking 60 a minute at him, 60 of these spears, that like it feels like a minute, and he just runs up the wall. Like, it's perfectly placed for like a step, and he's just running up the spears stuck into the wall. I thought that was a really cool scene.
That was really well done. The animation there, really, I was like, ooh, this is nice. When he first is initially dodging those spears, and like you said, as he's running up the spears that are sticking in the wall, really well done.
Mm-hmm. I was pleasantly surprised by that. But I mean, that's kind of the only indication, because now he is at the same spot that the bully was just at, but he went a different way. So it kind of indicates like, oh, maybe he can get there a little bit faster. But up until then, you have no frame of reference for how close each other are to the end of this challenge. And so they get up to the top, though, and Kevin goes to, he makes it to the top, he looks out the ledge, or looks out from the balcony. All of a sudden, Dracula shows up behind him and just pushes him off. And I go, you didn't fight back, dude? Like, you didn't do anything. What? You just spent the whole time just shooting people with your blaster and you decided not to do that with Dracula? I don't get it.
Yeah, that was an odd, pacing thing. But yeah, I mean, like, that was their chance, I'm guessing, for... Do you think that's where they put Thriller in, perhaps?
Definitely, because it's the same thing, that music that shows when they're searching, when Bayou Billy's training Kevin mm-hmm. in the last episode, that was the same, like, that's where that same music appeared during the montage, and I bet you they played Born in the Bayou. Like, you could totally picture Born in the Bayou in that montage scene, just like you could totally picture Thriller in the challenge scene of Kevin and Mike running through Castlevania together, which none of it actually looked like. Some of the floating platforms I could see had some game inspiration to it, but for the most part, none of it really reminded me of Castlevania.
Yeah, no, not really.
if they really wanted to go with a video game reference, they could have, like, the knight that's throwing the spear at them, it could be like the crosses that the knights would throw in Castlevania, like, you know, boomeranged right. back and forth. That would have been kind of cool, but yeah. They didn't go for that.
Yeah, that might have been kind of an homage to that, but yeah, that's what I thought of when I saw it. I thought of the same thing.
And they get to the top. Dracula pushes Kevin off the balcony, and then Mike shows up and shoots Dracula, and he dramatically falls into his coffin. And Mike sees Kevin on the edge, you know, holding on to the edge for dear life. And he's like, he basically tells him he's just going to kill him there. He's going to just, you know, step on his hands until he falls off. And this is where the episode lost me. I hated the ending to this episode. I liked the moral, hated the ending. So he goes, well, if you're truly Mike, and actually one thing I forgot to reference, I thought it was a funny line. They say when Mike is taunting him, he's like, yeah, I'm an android and I have 1,000 megabytes of memory all programmed to beat you. Yes. And I'm like, oh, 1,000 megs. Holy shit. That's enough for, you know, maybe a movie.
I chuckled at the same part too.
Like, I mean, obviously 1,000 megs back in 89 would have been fucking huge, but yeah. In this, in, you know, modern context, it's like nothing. In any case, Android Mike now, you know, right about to kill Kevin. He's like, but Mike also wasn't just a bully all the time. Him and I used to be friends. And then he says, remember when we would do blah, 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 blah. And he lists a bunch of stuff. And the one that stuck out to me that really made me concerned for both who Kevin and Mike are is that they dressed up as girls and snuck into Susie's sleepover. Now, the dressing up as girls thing, that's not what concerns me. To each your own. You do you. But you're sneaking into girls' sleepovers. That's pervy. You know, and especially if Mike turned out to be a bully, is Mike a womanizer? Like, I could totally picture Mike being kind of like an awful guy to date. You know, like, I could picture him being like one of the worst guys out there. If he's bullying Kevin, and when he was young, they decided it's okay to, you know, sneak into girls' sleepovers dressed as girls. Like, I bet you that was Mike's idea. I'm going to say Kevin was the innocent, well, not innocent because he went along with it, but he was a bad influence on Kevin.
That's right. Yeah, no. I mean, Mike's
character I'm really extrapolating design, this.
Mike's character design is that classic, like, beefcake bully jock from 80s movies.
He has a penis face.
So, see,
his chin is a ball sack. I'm just saying.
It's true. It's true. No, but that plot line of sneaking into the girl's slumber party comes straight out of 80s raunchy movies too. Like, that was the first thing I thought of. I was like, I don't know. Like, I never really thought of something like that to do with friends either, though. Like, hey, let's go sneak into a girl's slumber party.
As we said in the last episode, it's a little problematic.
Problematic.
Problematic is the right term.
That's our vocab word.
of the series, I guess. Yeah. Actually, no, I always, this is non sequitur, but or not related at all. So both a non sequitur and also not related, but I just thought about this. One of my favorite conversations to have with people is, especially like when you're, I shouldn't say favorite conversations, but like, sometimes I like to ask people, like, what's your favorite, like, vocab word? Like, everyone's got that one vocab word that they like to bust out to prove how smart they are to other people. Right. The one that I always like to go to in this specific conversation, because I could never use it in an actual conversation, is defenestrate. Have you ever heard the term defenestrate?
I have not.
It means to throw out a window. So if you, oh, if I defenestrated a TV, it means I threw the TV out of a window.
That's a fancy word for such a barbaric action.
I know, right? And I actually have a story behind that, because I forget where I found out what that word meant, like where I learned about that word, but I was at work at one of my old jobs. It was a grocery store I used to work at, and me and my friends were walking out after our shift, and we had literally just had this exact same conversation. Like, what's some of your, like, we were just bullshitting around, like, what are some of your, what's a vocab word that you like? Which is a pretty lame conversation, I guess, now that I think about it, but I still like it because I like to hear some of the weird stuff that happened, like people know. And I mentioned the whole defenestrate thing, same thing as this. And we're walking out, and these two other kids are walking up past us, and they go, "Hi, excuse us. Do you know what defenestrate means?" And like all three of us looked at each other, and I go, "Yeah, it means to throw out a window." And he turns to his friend and goes, "Ha, fuck you." And then just kept walking. Like, never spoke to those kids again. No idea what was going on, but I guess they had a bet, like, who knew what defenestrate meant? Who knows? Anyway, back to the episode. So Mike, he goes, but Mike also has good memories with me. He wasn't always a bully. We were friends. What about those memories? And that's how they resolve the conflict. He becomes friends with his bully again, and then they go back and fight Mother Brain. And this is why I didn't understand this, because Mother Brain tells Dr. Wily, you know, flip the switch or whatever. And then all of a sudden she's got machine guns and like laser rifles attached to her. I'm like, why couldn't you do that shit beforehand? Once you had Kevin, as soon as the imposter Captain N, or, you know, Mike just refused to do that, just have Wily flip the switch and just shoot everybody. It's not that hard.
I know. But now I want a Mother Brain action figure with machine guns.
I know, right? That'd be great. But okay, so that's how the episode ends. And he, unfortunately, well, one crucial thing, Mike dies, Android Mike dies by pushing Kevin out of the way of the blast. And it ends up killing him. So Kevin shoots a chandelier, which falls on a table, which launches Mother Brain and all of her minions, which somehow got conveniently smaller to fit on a table, out of Castlevania. And that's how the series, that's how the, not the series, how the episodes end, where Simon basically says, well, at least you, you know, you def-, I forget exactly what he says, but Kevin's like, no, I made friends with my bully again, or something like that. I made friends with Mike, became friends with Mike again. And then credits. It's just such a anticlimactic ending.
Yeah.
I didn't like it. Did not like the ending. Message is really good. You know, try to reconcile with your bullies. Like, try to reconcile with people who have wronged you. And I think that's a good message for kids to, you know, don't, just because someone's mean to you doesn't mean you can't work something out and figure it out from there on later. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I don't think it worked in this episode. I think it was a dumb way to resolve this episode, or at least the way they did it. There could have been another way. They could have, like, no, it would made, I think it would have been better if Kevin would have won and then he spared Mike. And then, because right now it's either that or, I don't know, I can't, I like the idea of, like, him talking Mike into doing this, but it still just, it didn't work for me. What do you think, though?
I see what they were trying to do, like, to make you question if Kevin really is the game master, because Mike was better than him. But what makes Kevin better is the fact that he was able to talk Mike down. You know, like, that's the X factor that makes Kevin the game master. Also, I feel like if this episode came out later, they would have done a parody of Terminator 2 with Mike's death, probably. The thumbs up going.
Oh, 100%. All right. So final thoughts on this episode before we, as we wrap this up, what are your final thoughts on here?
I thought it was great. I know it was full of tropes, but I thought the action was really fun. I thought the comedy was really fun. I thought the concept was really fun. One of the better ones so far.
I would agree. I would agree. Now, we're going to rush the ending of this because, like I said, I think at the beginning of this episode, our kids are asleep.
Yep.
And I can actually hear some stirring. So we are going to wrap this up. We finished what we wanted to talk about. So let's go with some plugs. Dex, what do you got to plug? Where can the good people find you?
All right. You can find me on Instagram or Twitter. It's my name, DexterMorrill. I'm on Instagram. I've got a underscore between my two names on there. No underscore on Twitter. But I show my artwork there, talk about art history or art and video game history. So if you're into that stuff, hit me up. And that's what I'm all about.
And as for me, you can follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at StillLoadingPod on all of them. If you want to email me, you can email me at StillLoadingContact@gmail.com. If you want to support the show, give it a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts or whichever podcasting app you use. You can also support the show monetarily by going to Patreon.com/StillLoadingPod. Even just $1 a month will help grow the show. And the most important shout out is the Bit by Bit Foundation. The Bit by Bit Foundation is a nonprofit organization whose mission is to put video games and video game consoles in the hands of kids receiving inpatient care at hospitals. So please consider checking them out and donate at bitbybitfoundation.org. And that will do it for our third episode of the Captain N Rewatch series. Dexter, thank you so much again for joining me for this.
Absolutely. It's been a blast. Can't wait for the next one.
And that's it for us. So we will see you all next time.